The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show here on Channel Radio in association with Biz Radio. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly weird Jules Serkin. Why are you waving a tea bag around?
Oh, they're lovely ones. These were given to me by my lovely homeopath, Mohammed Kafur.
Are they tea peaks?
You'd love them. No, they're even better. He's from Sri Lanka.
Right.
And these are lemon and ginger, and they're a product of Ceylon. And is that Sri Lanka, Ceylon?
Yeah,
I thought it was. I just didn't want to make myself look...
Do you know, I was in Sri Lanka a few years ago.
Mm.
I was speaking at the University of Colombo.
Yeah?
Yeah. And I stayed at Brown's Beach Hotel, which had been a colonial hotel back in the day. It was a bit run down now, but interesting. But then I moved to the centre of... Colombo, which is the capital, and I just stayed in the Hilton.
As you do.
And I had a tea waller in the foyer, and he made me a cup of Ceylon tea, and it was the most gorgeous thing I've ever drunk in my life.
And you still remember it?
And I still remember it, and I just think, wow, it's just so different to any tea you buy here. Mm. They had Darjeeling and all the normal things that you are used to seeing in a supermarket, but it just tasted totally different.
Well, when I see Mohammed Kafur, of course Ceylon is famous for tea, but when I see him, he has these in his waiting room, and he always says, help yourself to a cup of tea, and don't be shy, Jules, while I'm waiting. So I did, and I said, oh, they're really nice, and he gave me them, and they're just delicious. But they're black tea, but they've got real, look, I'll show you, I'll wave it at you now, it's diffused, real bits of ginger and lemon and stuff in there.
See, I don't like it when they mess about with tea.
It stays in the bag.
We don't want fiddly bits in it, do you? I just want a cup of tea.
Oh, don't come to my house.
You're a nightmare, you are, with your coconut milk and your goat surprise and your organic... it's rubbish.
Dandelion tea.
You can't have anything normal, you.
No, I can't. You come round and look at my tea cupboard.
I can imagine. Yeah. Why can't you just have a cup of tea?
Well, I'm on star anise now. I've got little star anises.
I'm not even going there.
Little star anise flower.
I know what they are, don't you worry, I'm not going there. You're not dragging me into that.
Pop one of those in my little cup of tea.
Yeah. Listen, we've had Tenterton Folk Festival on the Twitter. I think they were listening. Replying to Vanilla Web, the Tenterton Folk Festival 2022 is now listed on the Tenterton Chamber website under events, and our need for volunteers is under jobs. So there you go, check it out. TentertonChamber.org.uk, was it not?
Can you clear your throat, please, Mr. Andrews?
No, Gabriel's infected me now.
The pair
of us are going to choke for the rest of the afternoon.
It's like the Husky show, isn't it?
It is.
Well, I had coffee on my way in, freshly ground, of course. So hand ground a little coffee.
Yeah, did you have bits in it of any kind?
No, it was all freshly ground.
Bits of marshmallow or anything?
No, nothing. It was Brazilian, if you must know. But I normally, if I have it in the studio with coconut milk, I find I cough. So I have it on the drive-in to give me a little bit of a buzz. Hmm. And then I go on to my tea. See?
Right.
I'm a local honey. Born to ride Iseki World Record Attempt. I've no idea what I'm reading here.
Right.
So working on ride-on mowers part of the job for Colin North.
Hmm.
And Colin is the owner of Born to Garden. That's B-O-U-R-N-E. Clever.
See what he did there.
Very clever. And they're a landscaping and gardening business based in Kent. However, it wasn't until a friend mentioned the current world record attempt for the fastest journey from Land's End to John O'Groats on a ride-on mower that he suddenly thought what a great challenge it would be to try and beat this whilst raising money for charity.
Do you think they're going to cut the grass on the way?
Oh, as long as he doesn't come via Tankerton. After all, he has plenty of experience driving them all day. So Colin explains further. We're aiming to beat the current world record of 5 days, 8 hours and 36 minutes, completed by Andy Maxfield, which was on the 30th of July 2017. We'll be driving an Iseki SF5.
Of course they will.
That sounds a bit Japanese to me.
It quite possibly is.
Yeah. And it's been kindly donated, and they'll be supported by Iseki UK, aiming for up to 20 hours driving each day. God, imagine 20 hours on a ride-on.
Blimey.
Oh, I hope he's got some padded underwear.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, he
That's going to chafe, isn't it?
Oof.
Yeah.
And can think of the, you know, you get tinnitus and things, aren't you, jolting up and down?
You get what?
Tinnitus.
Oh, tinnitus.
Jumping up and down, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
All that shaking. So most importantly, he's raising money for three charities. So Motor Neurone Disease Association, the Kenwood Trust, previously mentioned on the bunker, and the Kenwood Trust, and they say that it helps struggling with people struggling with alcohol or drug addiction, and the Masonic Charitable Foundation, with the target to raise £30,000 to be split equally between each of the charities. Starting off at Land's End on Monday the 27th of June. Was that next Monday? I've lost track.
It is.
I'm still in May. I don't know where June went.
Yep.
They'll be avoiding the motorways.
I should think so too, on a ride-on mower.
They could be on the grass verge, I suppose.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
The central reservation.
And travelling through the countries. Sorry, travelling, I think it's got my goat because it's only one L.
They're bringing a goat?
No, it's got my goat because travelling is only one L. Isn't that the American spelling, or have I got it mixed up?
Oh, I don't know.
I'm sure English is travelling with two L's.
Probably.
It's got me a bit uppity, that, yeah. Anyway, you know what I mean. They'll be saying awesome next. So, travelling with one L.
You could have inserted your own L and not mentioned it.
I know, but it gets my goat, Paul Andrews. Travelling.
Where's the goat fit in? Are they towing the goat?
John O'Goats.
Yeah. Oh, I see. Okay.
Travelling through the counties listed below in order to reach their final destination of John O'Goats, which will hopefully beat the current world record. As part of their world record attempt, stipulations, now there's a word, independent witness signatures and photos are required along the way. So keep a lookout for Iseki's social media for details of where they will be en route and following the tracker. Maybe I should say route, as it's American. Encouragement along the journey and coming out to wave them past will no doubt be appreciated. So you can donate to that, to any of these lovely charities, by going to www.borntogarden.com. That's B-O-U-R-N-E, borntogarden.com. And www.iseki.co.uk.
We've had a tweet from the lovely Helen Fuchs of View IT Training. She says she's enjoying the show. View IT Training, they specialise in Office 365 products. Give them a follow on Twitter. View, V-U-E, IT Training is their Twitter handle. I've got all kinds of weird things going on here. Paragon Drones, excellent choice of musical fromage today. I thought so too. Thank you, Neil.
Yeah, that cheesy tunage.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially for you.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm just looking for something else I saw. Kent Construction Firm has joined forces with other national family businesses to launch a trailblazing campaign to applaud great British entrepreneurship. It's Changemakers and Groundbreakers, and it's the first ever awards to exclusively recognise growth and innovation in family-run companies. Oh, I like this. So as well as championing great British entrepreneurship, the awards also shine a light on the extraordinary lengths family firms have gone through during COVID to stay afloat, protect jobs and contribute to their local communities. So it's open to any family businesses, regardless of size, industry or location. From husband and wife microbreweries in Devon to fifth generation haulage firms in Scotland, funeral directors in Kent. Not sure why they pick funeral directors.
We've got loads of those.
We have. To sibling tech companies in Birmingham. The awards will culminate in a beautiful celebration book with every family business who enters the awards featured inside. Folkestone Hythe-based construction firm Walker Construction are proud to be ambassadors for the first of its kind national awards campaign. And they've been building since the average price of a house in the UK was £2,530. And the man was yet to land on the moon.
Blimey.
The man. I'm trying to think who it was. What was his name? Neil Armstrong.
Neil Armstrong, yeah.
Was he the first one?
Yeah. But so what are they saying? Since the 50s?
Yeah, I remember watching it when I was young, very young. I mean, I was probably minus one when I watched it.
No, you weren't.
I'm still younger than you. The world has seen so many changes just over the years. So Walker was privileged enough to have seen the trends come and go, and the company are passionate about paying tribute to other businesses. So you can go, you can enter your family business, and it's free to enter. It's on up until the 24th of June. When's that?
Later this week, isn't it?
Okay, and you can go to enter by going to three...
Friday. It's Friday.
Okay, so you've got up until Friday.
Yeah.
Enter by going to www.familybusinessplace.com/changemakers. Do it.
Fantastic, yeah.
Love that.
It's amazing how many family businesses we have in this country, yeah. Actually. There's many millions of them.
Yeah.
Mm. Okay. And that's what... It produces continuity.
Yeah. It's exactly. Good. Hand it all down.
Yeah, yeah.
Everybody knows their customers. You know, might have grown up knowing the customers.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Do you know what? I want to speak to someone sensible.
I do. You know.
So we're going to turn to our next guest.
I want to, yeah.
I want to.
Yeah.
That's both of us want to.
That means I
can. So it's great to introduce Gabriel Holland. Gabriel, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Tell us a little bit about Gabriel first, and then we'll talk about what it is you actually do.
Okay, well, I am the daughter of two architects.
Right.
Wow.
So I grew up looking at buildings.
Right.
And did you grow up in an amazing house?
I grew up in many amazing houses. I actually bought in a 1960s modern glass house.
Yeah.
I then moved to a Georgian house, so I have a love of both those different eras.
Right.
But as a child, I was dragged around to look at buildings the whole time, and we'd go on holiday and I'd want to go to the beach, but I'd be dragged around looking at Georgian architecture or whatever it was.
Right.
Look at those windows.
I know, yeah, absolutely. And so, but I didn't want to do that. I wanted to be a bit of a rebel, so I went to art school, and I said to my mum, I'm going to go to art school and I'm going to become a sculptor. And she said, you'll never make any money. And I thought, well, you don't need money, do you? Because I was an art student, and art, you know, you think that way. So I went to art school, promptly didn't do sculpture, actually did graphic design.
As you would.
Took me off in the complete wrong direction, hated it because it's two-dimensional. Left that, went and spent 3 years working at the Tate Gallery in London, immersed in art, and basically thought, I'm going to make my own art, work in an art gallery, but still I didn't have any money. And then I realised, actually, the architecture was in my blood.
Wow.
So I had to go back to it, but I didn't want to do architecture. 7 years, there's a lot of maths, lots of learning about drains, which I didn't think was interesting.
It's also a very long degree as well at university.
It's 7 years. And it's
7 years.
Learning about drains.
And my mum tells me they're very interesting, but I was not interested. So I then decided to go back and redo.
That must have been very draining for you.
Oh, yeah.
Probably met my mother then. But so I did a post sort of degree course at Chelsea School of Art and did interior design for a year, realised I loved it, and just when I got a job out of college, worked for 5 years for a company in London, and then did various other things, moved to Dorset, and then set up my own business.
Fantastic. I love stories like that.
Mm.
I want to come back to the sculpture, though. have you ever actually done any sculpture?
Oh, yeah, I have. Yeah, absolutely, and I loved it. And it's weird, because I do think three-dimensionally, so I can walk into a room and, for instance, I could sit in the corner and then draw this room with everything as it is, because my brain works in a very three-dimensional way.
But you'd be omitting the loaded millionaire
suite. No, I'd have all the biscuits and all my cough sweets as well.
Mm.
But, yeah, so it's the sculpture. I did do sculpture and I loved it. And
And what material were you looking to work in, or do you work in, or have you worked in?
In sculpture, I did work in clay, and then I cast in cement fondue.
Right.
Which actually is interesting, because I spend now a lot of time on building sites with another kind of cement. So.
I've got a really interesting story about a sculpture, but I can't possibly tell it on air.
Okay, you tell me afterwards.
I'll have to tell you afterwards, because it is really quite near the knuckle.
Yeah.
But anyway.
So how did you get from Dorset to Kent to
train?
Ramsgate?
That's another funny. Everything in my life is funny stories. So the reason I ended up being an interior designer was because I met my husband in a pub on Friday the 13th of February, went on a date on Valentine's Day, and then we got married.
Is this in Dorset?
This was in London, in Notting Hill. And then he dragged me up to Dorset.
She's very cosmopolitan, isn't she?
Yeah, yeah.
So I spent 10 years, I say, in Dorset, and I still work down there. I still have clients there, and I have great connections. But actually, I always used to come every January to Ramsgate to a Burns night. My birthday's in January. My friend's birthday's in January. We're both like, January's crap. Everybody's skint.
Yeah.
Everybody's got a hangover. What can we do?
Let's go to the most freezing place on the planet.
Margate, Ramsgate, but really. And we thought, okay, Burns night sounds good. So we just started the Mook Ramsgate Burns night. And every year we'd come over, and I realised I just love the community in Ramsgate and the people. It's very arty, lots of writers, musicians.
Mm.
And one evening I was there, walked into a lovely pub, and I just looked around and I thought, this is my tribe, these are my people, they're interesting art school people.
Mm.
And so I just went home and said to my husband, we're moving to Ramsgate.
Anyway, yeah, okay.
We did. Actually, weirdly, we had future-proofed our house, and we were living in an amazing house with solar panels, and it was all looking fantastic, and we had no bills to pay, and I dragged him off to
pay more bills
to live in a house with rattly Georgian windows.
Gone back to your family roots of the Georgian.
Exactly. So what does your husband do for you?
He's retired, so he goes where I go.
He's what?
He's retired.
Right, okay, so he just does what he's told. He's just drinking.
He makes the dinner tonight when you come back from the radio.
And he drives me to meetings when we travel long distance, and then he's off on the golf course the rest of the time.
Fantastic. Oh, that's brilliant. I love that story. Cool. Okay, so you started a business. Mm-hmm. So let's go from there. What did you start? Why did you start it? How did you start it?
Okay, so I'm not a traditional business person. So I actually started it because I was fed up with this architect's practice I was working in. And my husband said, leave and set up on your own. I left. I had no business plan. And I had a £500 overdraft facility. And fortunately, due to some luck, I was offered a job designing an office for a software company in London the following week, which I got, and they liked my work so much it just kind of went from there, and that just developed, and I've run my business ever since, and all my work is pretty much word of mouth or repeat clients.
Yep. Excellent.
So I'm very lucky.
I had a quick butchers at your website, and your work is absolutely delightful and beautiful. At work.
Now, you mentioned you did work for a software company. Do you tend to specialise in corporate stuff?
Absolutely not. I've done everything. I've done a public library for Dorset County Council. I've done a hospice. Most of my projects are high-end residential.
Right.
So, you know, beautiful houses in the countryside, a lot of them overlooking the sea. So for me, that's perfect because I love being by the sea.
Do you bring in the old nautical look?
Not really. Usually the houses have got pretty spectacular views. So at the moment I'm doing a project of two houses and four flats on the seafront at Deal.
Mm.
And when you have those amazing views, you can't fight them. You have to work with the building.
Yeah.
And that's what I do, a lot of that. So a lot of the stuff that I've done is quite pared down. And that's purely because what you don't always see in the photograph is the most incredible view.
Yeah.
So I did an amazing house overlooking Poole Harbour, which Harry Redknapp keeps trying to buy off my clients, and they won't have it. But that, again, has stunning views. So, you know, we just kept everything very simple, lots of natural products, very pared down.
Mm.
Okay. So do you have a particular style that you work in?
Not really. As I say, most of my style is probably quite understated.
Mm.
That's not to say I haven't used bonkers wallpapers and strong colours in the past. But I listen to the building. So if I go into a building, it's a historic building, then I will always kind of try and get a feeling for what the building is.
Mm.
And I was a Furren Ball colour consultant for 6 years. So I've done a lot of very historic buildings, going around where you'd look at, come up with a whole scheme for some clients. And you had to be very sensitive to the history of the building. And I've had it on more than one occasion where the decorator would then strip the walls back and find out that the colour I'd selected was actually the original colour that had been made. So it's a lot about light, it's about the architecture. Again, this is my architectural parents coming in.
Mm.
So, yeah, but I mean, my own personal style is very understated. It's very quiet design, I call it. But then I have done, you know, really over the top stuff when it's necessary.
Mm. You're talking about painting on walls. My old dad, God rest his soul, was painter and decorator. He had his own firm. And on his desk, he used to have a paperweight. And the paperweight was some paint he took off a wall of a hospital, right? He used to do big projects, you know, army barracks, hospitals, that kind of thing. And he had a paperweight that he chipped off of a wall that, I'm not kidding, was about 3 inches across. And it was solid paint.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and he estimated that the room that had been painted that was like a foot smaller because of the paint on the walls. Yeah.
Coming in.
Yeah. But were they coming in? And it was a big lump like that, and there was thousands of different shades of paint in it, where they just painted over and painted over and painted over, you know, 200 years of painting it over. Incredible.
It's like the wood chip wallpaper in London and used to hold the houses together. During the Second World War, all the houses got bombed, being held together by the wallpaper.
I spent many an hour taking that wood chip off.
My very first house, the very first house I ever bought, okay, it was a two up, two down terrace house. And in the bedroom, they had anaglypta. Do you remember anaglypta?
Yeah. That's back in fashion, you know.
Oh, is it? Oh, it's horrible stuff. anyway, my dad came round. My dad was brilliant. When he was at loose end, he just used to let himself in my house and he'd decorate a room just for the, you know. Anyway, I got home from work one day and my dad was standing in and he went, look at this. He said, I was just about to paint your bedroom. He said, watch. And he got hold of this anaglypta down by the skirting board at the bottom of the wall, and he pulled it and it came away from the wall, and then it kept going. It came away from the ceiling and it had been put up in one roll, just up one wall, across the ceiling and down the other side. It came off in one big strip. It was unbelievable.
I can believe it.
We had a guy removing the Artex on the house now. I hate Artex. And so he was literally filing it down and the dust was...
And the most amazing thing about this bedroom, right, he stripped all the wallpaper off and went home. And he went, I've left you some paint. You can paint the walls, yeah? Just emulsion. Mm-hmm. So I had a roller and emulsion. And I gave it a coat, an off coat. Straight over. Just coated it off. Went downstairs for something to eat, watched telly for a couple of hours, came upstairs, and the paint was all on the floor. It had shrunk and fallen on the floor.
Wow.
So I called my dad and he came over and he went, somebody's put oil-based distemper on that wall. He said, you can't paint that. You'll never paint on that. Mm. He had to put glue. He put Unibond all over it and then painted on the Unibond.
It's called sizing, I think.
Yeah, yeah. It was the only way you could make the paint stick. Mm. Unbelievable
stuff. I thought distemper was something that dogs got.
Yeah, it is. There was a dog on the wall.
Was there?
Yeah, yeah.
But I love the fact you're down in Deal as well, because I went to Deal around the Christmas period.
It's a lovely place, Deal.
Some lovely little indie
shops. France,
shop.
You know.
Yeah, almost. You get your French radio there, don't you?
If you go with your mobile phone there, you get Vodafone France, don't you?
Yeah. But it is like going back in time, Deal, isn't it?
It is. Oh, those streets are fantastic.
Absolutely beautiful. Beautiful. Yeah.
Actually, the project I'm working on is actually right on the front, but it's a bit of a mishmash. It's an Edwardian sort of 1920s property, and then we're building two really ultra modern houses next to it, which are going to be fantastic.
We're seeing what they're doing in Margate on the seafront there with those huge penthouses developments. It's gobsmacking.
It's absolutely very, very busy where we are at the moment. It's literally, you cannot walk down the street in Thanet without scaffolding. I've lived in my house in a terrace for 8 years, and there's never not been scaffolding. So it's exciting times.
Yeah, yeah.
I've just bought my own tower.
Have you?
Yeah. Seriously, I have.
Is it a Martello?
No. It's a scaffold tower. Oh. Right. It's a scaffold tower.
I thought you meant a tower.
No, it's a 7 metre scaffold tower.
No, but I thought you meant like a Martello tower, like on the seafront. No. You know, the proper ones.
It's a derrick, so I can decorate my house.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but the outside. When I looked, the cost of scaffolding or hiring a tower was like £300 for 2 days. I bought the entire thing for £700, and I can use it for cutting my trees as well.
It's the business to be in at the moment, scaffolding.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I want to now investigate, Gabriel, your design skills.
Oh dear.
Yeah, what's in vogue and what isn't? I'm probably being a bit facetious here anyway, because as you've already quite rightly said, you go with the the flow of the property that you're looking at.
And she listens to her clients.
And the clients as well, exactly.
Yeah, but do they know what they're talking about? I mean,
they live there. They live there.
Yeah, no, but clients go, oh, I want that yellow and that pink. And you go, no, that'll never work. Mm. Do you ever get that where they want something and you think, do you know what, you don't?
No, absolutely. And I have to be very, you have to be very diplomatic in my job. Yeah. You have to be a little bit of a psychotherapist. You have to be able to read people and read rooms. Mm. So you do have to know when you can say to them, no, that's going to look like a motorway service station or whatever. Mm. I usually choose language to describe it in a negative way, and then they go, oh, no, we don't want that.
No, you're having a laugh, exactly. Love. That'll never work. Yeah.
But then also, you know, sometimes I can push clients much further than they want to go.
Yeah.
And that equally works really well.
Is that kind of going the other way, where maybe they were being quite conservative?
Absolutely.
And you're going, no, you can have fleur-de-lis there or something, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Okay.
I think she's cringed at the fleur-de-lis. I'm not sure.
I was just making stuff up, I don't know.
But how do you, like living on the seafront with a beautiful Victorian or Georgian house, how do you make that eco-friendly with the windows and things?
Well, you don't,
because you've got those north winds.
Yeah,
I live on the front, and those north winds, honestly, we can barely shut the front door sometimes.
Mm. Well, I mean fortunately in my house we have got original shutters, so you can shut them out.
Mm-hmm.
You can, obviously my house is listed, so you're not allowed to put in any double glazing. You can put in secondary glazing, and there's been a whole report written all about the things that we're going to have to do in the future to protect against climate change. So, for instance, you've probably seen photographs of old Victorian buildings where they used to have these things that came down from the front. Sorry, I've forgotten the word.
Yeah.
And awnings.
Oh, right.
So they're thinking we're going to have to go back to using things like that in the future in order to create coolness in the summer.
Really? Old-fashioned awnings?
Yeah. So if you look at sort of pictures of...
Which I would think of in a shop.
Yes. But there's some old photos in Ramsgate of the Royal... Crescent, which has got them all.
I love
and
the
they look
Crescent.
Quite amazing because it looks very Victorian. Mm. But obviously that's what they did back then to create shade.
The coolness.
Yeah, and I think we're going to be going back to that sort of thing.
You quite often see them in films in Italy and places like that, don't you, where somebody falls off the building and goes through 10 different awnings on the way to the ground. Yeah. Which is what they're for, obviously, to break your fall. That's what they're really
the
there for.
The trampoline, really.
Right. So, Gabriel.
Yes.
Farrow and Ball. Everybody's favourite paint. Is that still the thing?
I'm not sure. I mean, there's so many amazing paint ranges now.
Yeah.
I mean, I did work for them for 6 years, so I still use their colours, and their colours are amazing. And the thing that people don't understand is they have a lot more pigment in them. So the light isn't reflected, it's refracted. So when you look in a room which has got Farrow and Ball paint in it, you think, why does it look really velvety? Why is my eye being drawn into the colour? And the reason is because of that level of pigment. Mm. I don't tend to use them on seaside houses because I prefer the light to be reflected and bounced around the room. But there are lots of new companies now doing incredible eco paints.
Right, okay.
So I love an eco paint.
Yeah.
So what constitutes an eco paint?
I guess it's to do with the natural pigments.
Right.
No plastic and the VOCs and all of that.
Yeah, so better for your health. Breathable.
Exactly. And houses, you talked about the older houses. Breathable paint.
So the old lath and plaster.
Yeah, KTC and distemper is something that you can use. Lime wash, which is really
lime
difficult.
Lime wash is lovely.
It's lovely, but it's very difficult to put on. You have to keep spraying it with water and keeping it damp.
But these are real old-fashioned artisan trades that we're... I mean, I had an old Victorian house, and to get it pointed, to get it to the right colour was like... Well, you know, we had a chap who's now in his 90s do it.
Mm.
But, you know, to find someone nowadays to do it...
Absolutely,
would be,
and you have to also... You have to usually get a test of the pointing to make sure you're using
the right amount of lime.
Yeah, and somebody very close to where I'm living at the moment is having their old flint wall redone, which there are a lot of those in Thanet, and they're all listed.
Mm.
And there's literally only one chap that's doing it.
I can well believe
it. So he's got a full order book for
this. And your stonemasons as well, and also the old railings.
Yes,
I had a grant years ago in Whitstable for our house. We were able to put back the.
Was that Mitchell?
Pretending, not Grant Mitchell, that they were the original Victorian railings and made to look the same. They were grants from the council.
Mm.
I don't know where it came from. It wouldn't be in Canterbury Council, but probably EU or something, I don't know.
Yeah,
but the whole road, we all did our railings.
Lovely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
flooring.
I like that. Great segue there.
Because I love a sisal, and I love those
I'll tell you what.
You love a sisal.
No, I've got a real problem. I've got a real problem in my office at home. And the mice have been eating my carpet.
That's the mice.
Well, she's not...
She's not a rodent advisor.
I didn't ask her advice on that. I'm just telling you.
Are you sure it's mice? It does sound like moth, carpet moth.
No.
Carpet moths.
You want to get some lavender bags.
They were blooming hungry because they've eaten some big chunks out of it.
They won't eat your sisal, though.
No, they won't eat your sisal. But if I were you, I'd get a couple of cats. That's what you need. A couple of cats. Yeah,
fine. I agree.
Get some mouses. Back to carpeting. Sisal.
Flooring,
carpeting, sisal. Flooring. I've just got wood on my stairs because when we moved in, we got three floors. And when we moved in, there was this awful green floral carpet from the 70s, very, very high end. And so I ripped that up and then I've never managed to afford to carpet to all three. And I've just varnished it all. But I think one day I would like to put up a nice runner. So what's in vogue with floors on stairs and things? So I've seen some funky stuff.
There's some amazing runners around. There's obviously the classic stripe, which most people go for. But that can also come in really interesting colours.
That does look lovely, the stripe.
Yeah. And then there's sort of geometric ones as well, which are looking beautiful.
What is this we're talking about?
Carpets up the runners.
Not
Sebastian Coe. Not Sebastian Coe. Yeah. And then the feature wall. That's big, isn't it? The feature wall. Does that drive you mad?
£1 for every feature wall or wow factor I was asked for. Yes, no. They can work in some places. I think it's got to be done so cleverly that you don't really realise it's a feature wall.
Because
often people do it and they come in and they do a big wall and you walk in and it's the first thing you see and I don't think...
You see, Paul, she's subtle. She's understated and subtle.
Yeah.
She's not going to have a great big aubergine thing that you see as soon, although I do like an aubergine. I've just painted... a guest room that we have, bright yellow. I haven't really got the colour. It's a little bit brighter than that. And we go in to the room and everyone feels happy.
Yes.
Like everyone just goes in and goes, oh, I feel so happy. And when my kids were growing up, they had, one of them had a yellow room and I used to lie on his bed and go, it's like a little egg in here, isn't it? Like a yolk of an egg.
Yeah. Well, colour's very powerful.
Gosh, so, yeah.
For instance, if you go into a room that's painted red, which not necessarily everybody's thing, it's supposed to lower your heart rate after about half an hour because it's
what colour?
Red.
Red.
It's supposed to be like going back to the womb. Now, I don't know whether that's true.
If you'd have just asked me, I would have said, well, red's
initially
the colour.
It raises your heart and then it drops it down. Wow. So if you're only 29 minutes in the room, then you're going to be still stressed. But also, obviously, colour is very powerful and it can really change your mood and more lift your mood or lower your, you know, calm you down equally.
I've got a room, my living room, which you'll know, Paul Anders, is all window because we're on the sea.
It's upstairs as well.
Yeah, it's upside down.
I love upside
down. But it's all window, and then we've got a big fireplace, and we've got no walls for art. It's really, I find it really, no room for bookshelves and no wall.
Because you've got a fantastic view.
We have, but I would like a little bookshelf somewhere. I've got nowhere for my books. It's quite sad. So I'm thinking of like little nooks. I think if you came around, you could find me a little
nook
somewhere. You know, because you've got the eye, haven't you? You'd say, Jules, you could just do it here, a little nook.
I mean, that is what design is all about, isn't it? Is having a spatial awareness of what you're looking at and what can be done with a space. And it's also what can be done or not done with a space.
Absolutely.
Yeah. To make it work. It's a real talent. In years gone by when I've used interior designers on various properties, the kind of things they come up with, you go, well, how did you even think of that?
It's called years at college and training.
And experience. But it's also part of your DNA, isn't it? It's having that. It's like people that can draw or paint. The way they do it isn't the way that idiots like me do it. I draw a nose and a mouth, whereas real artists actually fill in the spaces, if you see what I mean, and leave the picture behind for the spaces, if that makes sense. And it's the same with design, isn't it? That you see a room in a completely different way to the way I see it.
Yeah. And how far do you go? So would you
all the way?
Do you work with lighting and gardening designers and things like that?
Lighting engineers, swimming pool designers. I've worked with every kind of consultant.
Wow. And gardens.
Do you have garden designers? I have worked with garden designers, and clients often end up asking me for advice on the garden, and I'm a little bit like, will I step outside? But I can kind of help with finishes.
Yeah.
But yeah, garden designers I've worked with, and yeah.
In 2 weeks' time, we've got some guests on the show from Potter's Home Digital that have just pioneered garden entertainment systems.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they've got a 72-inch television that they put in your garden.
I'm sure the neighbours would love that.
You know, but it and they've got sound and lighting systems that go with it.
I'm sure the neighbours would love that.
And the yeah, but these are for people that don't have neighbours, aren't they? And the television just stays in the garden. It's completely weatherproof.
Wow.
And it just stays out there. Amazing stuff.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're going to hear about that in a couple of weeks.
It's your own festival, that sounds like.
As long as you don't drop the remote in the pond.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Oh, well, they don't have remotes, so it's all voice activated, isn't it? Yeah.
Do you know what? I've got rid of my Alexa. I haven't got rid of her, but she was annoying me so much because she kept butting in. And I've said, sorry, Alexa, I've got rid of you. We've got a Sonos now, and the sound is amazing. And what? I got a white one, white Sonos.
But does it play channel radio?
I don't know. I have to ask Mikey, our technician, if it will.
Yeah.
It plays all the radio stations.
Yeah, well, it'll play channel radio.
I'm sure it will.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've got rid of Alexa. She's got her marching orders.
Has she?
Yeah.
Okay. So, of all the things you've done, Gabriel, what's been your favourite
project?
Mm.
I did a fantastic project just outside Sandwich a couple of years ago, which was a holiday barns. It's called Rose Yard, and it's just up for award, actually, at the moment.
Right.
And it's doing really, really well. And they called me in. It was some old agricultural buildings, and they're a lovely team of people. And they had got the buildings into a certain stage and then panicked. And I had to come in and just suddenly design. It was 11 bedrooms, 11 bathrooms, and I was kind of having to do it very quickly. It was huge.
Mm.
But it was such a fantastic space, and it was great fun to work on, and a great team.
So where was that?
It's called Rose Yard. It's just outside Sandwich in East Street.
And the award is for you or for them?
No, it's for them. It's called...
Oh, shucks.
Okay, it's fine. It's part of the Muddy Stilettos
Award. Yeah.
So I'm busy voting for them anyway.
Good.
Because it does look great, and they've had a brilliant response.
Well,
so that was good, because it was just... You know, initially when I got the email, I thought, oh, a boring little holiday cottage. And then I got there, I was like, oh, wow, this is amazing.
Have you done any hotels or hospitality restaurants or anything?
No, I haven't, no.
Because Ramsgate is a hub for food, isn't it? You've got little ships there. And
little what?
Little ships.
Oh, ships.
Yeah. So, and you've got the Royal Crescent that you speak of. You've got there the hotel, Royal Harbour.
Mm-hmm.
Little ships, that colour they use, that's like a naval, French navy or something. That's quite clever the way they've done inside.
Yes, no, it's lovely.
Very tasteful.
Again, they've got a great awning outside.
They do.
There we are. Actually,
they have a great yawning awning.
Yawning awning.
I love a shutter.
Oh, yes.
Shutters are very in at the moment, aren't they? But for me, I find that I don't want one because they take the light. I like lots of light, so I just like a very plain blind, really. I'm very boring.
Yeah, me too.
Mm.
Oh, we get on so well. Good.
My eldest son lives in southwest France, and he's restoring a manor house there.
Beautiful.
And that's got shutters.
I bet. Yes, we've got
original shutters.
I
think, well, we've got a house in southwest France, so I know those buildings, and they are absolutely stunning.
Yeah.
Whereabouts is yours?
Near Cahors, on the River Lot.
Near what?
Cahors. We call it Cahors.
Cahors. Yeah.
Near the Dordogne.
Lovely.
My son lives in the Dordogne as well, about 20 minutes from Bergerac.
Well, he's being more or less self-sufficient, isn't he?
He's got a small holding in there, and he's grown all of his own food, and he's producing his own electricity and all kinds of stuff there, and restoring gradually.
Which is probably a very wise thing at the moment.
Absolutely, yeah.
And how did the locals feel? Because they all seem to... sell the old properties to the English and then go and build a bungalow.
The French houses are all horrible. all the original ones are lived in by Brits, you can always tell.
Yeah.
He lives fairly close to a town called Aimée.
Oh, Oh yeah.
Which is beautiful. It's a medieval French town. Just gorgeous. It's a gorgeous town, but 70% of the population of Aimé are Brits.
I can imagine. Yeah.
So anyway, listen, Gabriel, it's been fascinating talking to you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We love the sound of what you do, and it's fantastic and very creative. If people want to find out more about what you do or to get in touch with you or whatever, what's the best way to do that?
My website is www.gabrielholland.com.
Right.
And I have an Instagram, which I think is Gabriel H Designs.
Fantastic. There's a link to Gabriel's website on the Kent Business Radio website. You can find it there. For the moment, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Cool. We're almost at the end of the show as well. So we haven't got a lot of time, and we've still got quite a few things to cover, I think.
Yeah, I'm just sort of thinking now about Ramsgate. It's a long time since I've been down. I need to go down to Little Ships and have a little dinner there or something. There is a CCTV which is catching Sevenoaks shoplifters, and it's the council CCTV. It's led to the arrest of shoplifters suspected of stealing goods worth more than £10,000 on Sunday afternoon. On the 12th of June, operators became suspicious of a group of people who were entering Boots in Sevenoaks High Street. They were wearing large coats and jumpers on one of the hottest days of the year. This sounds like Scooby-Doo to me. When the group left the shop, the CCTV operators spotted items hidden under their clothing. And the CCTV team relayed live images of the suspects through to Kent Police, along with their descriptions and direction of travel. Police stopped three teenagers who had travelled to Sevenoaks from Walthamstow in London. A large quantity of suspected stolen items were seized, an estimated value of around £10,000. 15-year-old boy and two girls, aged 14 and 17, were arrested. Interesting, because as far as my lovely Claude Butler bike got stolen, my new husband left it at the station as he commuted a couple of years ago, and one day he borrowed my Claude Butler, which I loved. It got nicked, and there's CCTV there, and we said to the police, and they said, yeah, we can see two youths wheeling away your Claude Butler bike. I said, oh, good, you know.
No, so claim on your insurance.
He said, unfortunately, it's not clear enough to... So it's really frustrating. So maybe it's come on in leaps and bounds.
Yeah, possibly.
CCTV.
Aside from the obvious COVID-19 pandemic implications, the construction industry is no stranger to crisis. Whether that be political issues like Brexit or a tragedy such as Grenfell, which ultimately changed the shape and focus of our efforts to drive the industry forwards. With constant growth in technology and evolving building standards, we can't just sit and wait for things to settle. Therefore, the Kent branch of Constructing Excellence continues to be collaboration focused. Through our wide and varied membership from all sectors of the industry, we're able to share knowledge and experience for the benefit of many. Our chairperson, Cheryl Corsbrook, hosts our event, supported by the rest of our cross-sector committee. Our July event has become our annual open event. It's not for club members only. Please feel free to join us and bring along your construction contacts and colleagues. We will be providing refreshments, including a buffet-style lunch, and welcoming guest speakers, as well as hosting panel discussions. As always, our meetings are relaxed, encouraging open conversation and the building of relationships. This event is taking place on Wednesday the 13th of July at the University of Kent in Canterbury at the Sibson Building, that's the business school, and it's from 7:30 a.m. until 1 p.m. and you can book your tickets by going to eventbrite.co.uk, Kent Constructing Excellence.
I've read all mine, Paul Andrews.
Have you?
Yeah, you see,
that's very efficient of you,
yeah,
isn't it?
Diligent me. And I've done tweets. I've done all my tweets. Did I read out Casey K9?
No, you didn't. So you lied.
So the lovely Casey, it was just a fib. I never lie, it was a fib. Casey K9 2014 on the Twitter is a lovely greyhound, a lovely rescue greyhound that listens to the show. And he, Casey K9, says, "Hi Jules, how about a shout out for the most patient greyhound still waiting to meet his one true love?" Which of course is my greyhound, Darcy Greyhound, who's only two. So that we're going to meet. We're going to actually talk about cars, electric cars and things. That's what we're going to talk about. And obviously dogs.
Cool. Somebody started a conversation here about jam on scones again.
Oh, that's me.
I thought it would. I thought you'd start that again.
Yeah.
Whereas jam or cream first. It's the most boring discussion ever.
I know.
Who cares?
Just eat it. Well, I do care, actually. I think
it makes no difference which way.
It does. It makes an awful lot of difference. A, you've got to have your local jam. It should be strawberry. Don't put blackcurrant on. It's all wrong. I love a blackcurrant jam, but it's wrong on a scone. But it must be your strawberry, your local strawberry jam. Preferably made by someone. I get mine from a lady in Herne Bay called Karen, her homemade jam. Jam, butter, then jam, then your lovely double cream and a cup of tea. And I think...
With bits in.
No, I think Gabrielle would have an Earl Grey, wouldn't you?
I was
going
to say clotted cream.
Clotted cream, yeah. Or even cider without tea. You could have cider with it or your Earl Grey, couldn't you?
Okay, yeah.
That'd be nice. How about you? How would you have your scone?
Well, I call it scone.
Yes, you can. Because you're an actor, you can say it however you want. Come to the mic.
Yes, I think I call it scone. And yes, I agree, the jam should go on before the cream.
And would you have a strawberry jam or would you go for another flavour?
No, I would probably go for a strawberry jam.
Yeah.
And yes, it would go on below the cream.
Yeah, exactly. And would you have it with a Kentish or a Somerset cider?
No.
You'd have tea.
I don't like beer and stuff. No, I'd probably have a gin and tonic.
A gin and tonic with it?
So.
Well, we're moving up. We're moving up a scope.
Cool.
Yeah.
Good.
It's made me hungry now.
You're always hungry. A schoolboy who has been boxing since he was 8 years old has invented a water bottle to help fighters drink on their own. I'll explain. And it will get a showing at the Commonwealth Games. Frank Ripley from Sittingbourne has been up at 5 a.m. training before school twice a week for the last 6 years. When Frank started boxing, he would always struggle to hydrate himself whilst wearing boxing gloves.
Mm-hmm.
So he put pen to paper and drew up what he thought would work. He also made a prototype out of an old sports bottle, added some zip ties and plenty of Gorilla Glue to make a handle. It didn't look great, but the concept worked. Fast forward 5 years, multiple product tests, multiple prototypes, a patent and a design protecting the intellectual property came up with the end product, which is called Fraqua. F-R-A-Q-U-A, Fraqua.
It's like foie gras, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah, and that's now a product that is in production and can be bought and is going to be showcased at the Commonwealth Games.
Wow, what was his name again?
Frank Ripley.
He sounds very famous, doesn't he, Frank Ripley? I don't know why.
The Wonderful World of Ripley.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, that's what you're thinking of.
Or Frank How someone. Frank Cooper. Who was... Was there a Frank Cooper?
Probably was.
Who didn't was the he, boxer Cooper?
That was Henry.
Henry
Frank Cooper.
Cooper
used to make mustard. No, he made mustard. Frank Cooper mustard.
I don't know.
I've got this... You know
these,
nothing.
Got all these names logged in my little brain.
Yeah. Mm. More than 100 budding entrepreneurs have been helped by a business advice network set up at the Kent History and Library Centre in Maidstone. The Kent Library's Business and IP Centre, BIPC, is part of the British Library's national network of centres across the country. They've been set up to advise start-up ventures, inventors and anyone with a business idea on how to make their dream a reality. First started in October after receiving £627,000 of government funding, the centre was officially opened this month. It offers the opportunity for one-to-one consultation sessions and practical business advice. You've got nothing to read, have you? I've got
to
do all.
I'm writing about strawberries now to people.
I've got to do all this on my own now. I'm the only one working here.
Yeah, well, it says The Business Bunker by Paul Andrews.
Does it?
I'm just a little accessory. Yeah, go on. You've got a minute left.
Ah,
I'm tweeting
right?
about strawberries here.
Tenterton, my hometown, has been named as one of 90 microclusters in the UK where creative businesses are thriving. It's one of only four places named in Kent. Tenterton is a hub for creative and independent businesses. Its cultural events include a regular creative market and the Spirit of Tenterton Festival. The Sinden Theatre brings audiences in from the borough and across the county. The town also has cultural heritage with Smallhive Place, the former home of Dame Ellen Terry, an iconic actress in the Victorian period, and now a tourism destination. And it also has the Kent and Sussex Steam Railway.
See, Pauline's pricking her ears up now at all this.
You'd like this, Pauline.
Yeah, she will.
Smallhive Place, which was Ellen Terry's gaff, she had a very small theatre built there in the garden. And the last person to perform live to a public audience on the stage there was Oscar Wilde.
Wow.
Wow, that is really wonderful.
Mm. Yeah, it's now open to the public as it's owned by English Heritage. It's a lovely cottage on the outskirts of Tenterton. So there you go, cultural hub.
And didn't it have all her costumes?
Sorry?
Didn't it have all her costumes in it?
Yes, it does. It has her costumes and it's well worth a visit. It's not a particularly huge place. And it's very definitely a Tudor cottage. Mm-hmm. It's all beams and...
And small doors.
And small doors.
People were so small in those days, weren't they?
Yeah, I don't think they had ladders. That was the problem. Mm-hmm. They couldn't build anything high.
Or your tunnels. Scaffolding what is tower. It you've got? Your tower. I've got a chap that might interest you, Gabriel, who's got an up and out thing. He's got an up and out thing. Richard Green is my neighbour. He's got this sort of tractory red thing that goes up.
Like a cherry picker.
A cherry picker. Yeah. It's a cherry picker. He's got a cherry picker.
He calls it up and out.
Yeah.
And that might be useful for you as well.
Granite worktops. Useful for carrying those.
Mm. Are they? Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Cool.
Come on, have you got anything else to read? Why are you here?
Go on, what are you going to say?
I've got nothing. No, I'm still talking about strawberries.
Well, we've kind of reached the end of the show, to be honest.
We have.
Yeah. I'll tell you, there's a Kent Virtual Networking, online networking, on Wednesday the 29th of June, 4 p.m. to 5 p.m, hosted by Mary Eniulu, and it's a free online event. These Kent events are relaxed networking with like-minded business owners. Everyone is welcome. You can find out about it by going to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/calendar.
And don't forget to go on the BromleyArtsFestival.com website. Find out what's going on in July. There's some amazing
lots of interesting
from
stuff.
From opera to comedians to ballet to all sorts of beautiful things. Great Expectations. Put me down for that, Paul Andrews. That's Wednesday the 20th of July.
Fantastic. We've reached the end of another show.
Yeah, we have.
I want to say a huge thank you to this week's show sponsors, the lovely folks at Talis IFA, to our fantastic guests, Pauline Armour of the Bromley Arts Festival, Bristol. Where did that come
you
from?
You just made up your own town.
My own town, yeah.
I think that's Elizabethan you're speaking of.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, Bristol. I got all carried away with Ellen Terry there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you know she had a wooden leg?
No, I've got a metal one.
Yeah.
Wooden's pretty good.
A big thank you to Pauline Holland.
Thank you.
Pauline Armour. And you've made me mess the whole thing up and we've run out of time now.
You've actually married them.
We've got Pauline Armour and Gabriel
Holland.
Thank you so much.
Ramsgate and Bromley.
Yeah, we'll be back next week. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews. The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews. This is Channel 2.
Opportunity for one-to-one.